Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind.
Hey, what's going on? It's your man Cassie, and everyone's on another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Of course, this is a special podcast today. I'm not even going to do my usual speech. I'm not going to do my usual thank you. I mean, you know what? I can't do that. Thank you, guys. I need to thank y'all, because without y'all, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. This podcast wouldn't be where it is today. And I am making so much more effort to do you more and more podcasts. So don't worry. I'm gonna be killing it late soon. You'll see. I had some tragic things happen in my family. Not to get into details, but you know, a passing of somebody close to the family. So I was dealing with that. But I wanted to hit this podcast for you because something really happened the other night, last night. Monday, the presidential candidate race, and Donald Trump won. Are we surprised? Now, let me go back. Okay. You're like, Cass, what this guy do with Black men's mental health? You know, because, you know, always got to connect it. All right. So let's talk about Black men's mental health. Like, let's talk now. Kamala, I don't know how to pronounce it, is the vice president, and Joe Biden was running, and he had a disastrous debate with Trump. His health was declining. We've seen that for about a year and a half, and he dropped out, and in his place, Kamala ran. Now, there was supposed to be a primary, but there wasn't. She just took it over. I don't know if there's any rules for that. You know what? That's not my place. I don't care. So she started running. Now, one thing I noticed about candidates that running government that want, especially around election time for the president, whatever candidate is the Democratic candidate tries to appease to the Black community in the most negative, stereotypical way. Now, I am not in any way a lover of the Republican Party and things they do. So please, I'm not here to vouch for them, to say they're right or nothing. But one thing I do appreciate about the Republican Party and their conventions and stuff, they talk about the issues. They talk about what they're going to do. Miss Harris had Glorilla, Megan Thee Stallion. It was like a mini concert. She didn't focus on any real politics. Now, people are going to say she did have time. She really didn't have time. But, you know, it's kind of funny. How don't you have time and you've been the vice president for 4 years? What was Biden's campaign he was running on? Use that. You already took over his spot. But I digress. She didn't appeal to white America. Let's be real. She was at all of the Atlanta, New York, all of the places that all the Black people are having performers come out, making it like a mini concert, pandering to the African American women, especially, you know, pandering to them heavy, using the gender thing. And Trump was out there actually talking about issues that matter to people. Now, I'm not a Trump fan on that level, so please don't get what I'm saying as a Trump endorsement. But he was talking to the stuff that really mattered. Now, when you go look at these numbers are crazy, all right? What really lost Ms. Harris that the vote, because, you know, white America in general is going to vote for Trump, you know, whatever. Such a rural areas. But the Latino vote, they voted against her heavy. Why is that? Why? And see, you know what? I there's so much in my head that I'm just ranting on. So let me focus on Black men. Let me focus on that, because there's so much I can say, but let's focus on Black men. They say that black majority of black men voted for Miss Harris. But did the majority of the men want to vote for Miss Harris, especially black men? Now, let's talk about this. It was almost blasphemy if, as a black man, I said I'm not voting for Kamala. Black women would go crazy. Now, my wife is an AKA. And if you know anything about Kamala Harris, she is in that organization, AKA. So the AKAs, that organization, and all the black organizations, Greek organizations, and were really fighting for people to vote for her. But when it came to black men, I heard something and saw something. See, my ear is to the streets of what they say, okay? Now, they say the majority of black people voted for Kamala, about 80%. You know, of all voters, black, they voted for Kamala. Black men mostly voted for Kamala. But I don't know if that's really true. Most black men that I spoke to that are on the internet, that are out there, didn't want to vote for Kamala. They didn't like her policy. They didn't know what she would stand for. They said she was here for 4 years and did nothing. Now she's going to be president and do nothing. There was nothing she stood on. There was no policy. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And black men didn't want to vote for her. Now, what I'm saying is a theory, okay? And I'm going to be honest about it. It's a theory, okay? It's, you know, all the time on my podcast, I'm about facts. I'm about the actual facts. But this time, I'm doing a theory. I'm doing how I saw things, okay? I could be wrong. Because the numbers don't lie. They said most black men voted for her. But what I didn't see in that number was how many black men actually voted. A lot of black men sat this election down. Let me tell you why. This is how I feel. Okay? So, yeah. If you're married or dating a black woman, or you're involved in the black community, and you're a black man, and you go out there, you say you're not voting for Kamala, that's like suicide. You're married to a black woman, and your black woman tells you better vote for Kamala. Your whole black community as a black man is telling you you're not a man if you don't vote for Kamala. It was like they were trying to guilt black men into voting for her in some way. So a lot of brothers sat it out. Didn't come out real heavy. Didn't really say, yo, I'm voting for Kamala heavy. Nope. Because we didn't want to vote for her because she was, oh man, I'm going to say something, guys. You know what? This is going to be a quote that's going to get me in trouble maybe with some people, with some listeners, especially my female listeners. There was this idea that America doesn't want a black woman in the office. Right now, follow me, brothers and ladies, follow me. What I'm about to say, because it may be controversial. They're trying to guilt America to say that America wasn't ready for a black woman in the office. That's the rhetoric right now. That's the you know, America's not ready for a woman. First, when Hillary ran, America wasn't ready for a woman. Now Kamala runs, America's not ready for a black woman. But let's be honest, my brothers, let's be honest, okay? I'm going to speak my truth. We didn't want Kamala in the office because, for one, she's not a black woman that's representing real black women. Meaning, she's married to a white man. She never did anything for black people. And at the end of the day, she was pandering to the black vote, when at the end of the day, she's not even 100%. She's half, which is okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you can't have a Southern accent one day, then be properly white the next. No, you can't do that. And we saw black men, we saw how other black women were pandering to her like she was the next Messiah. And it was a lie. because it was damaging to us. Let me tell you why it was damaging to black men. Our black women are supporting this woman that say she loves black so much, but she couldn't marry a black man. We are sitting here supporting this woman as she is the face of black women. So you're telling us that it's the idea of black woman is without the black man. And that hurt us that you support this woman so much and she's done nothing for black people. She's done nothing for black people. She sleeps every night with a white man. And we know as men where a woman's loyalty lies. The man that's digging her. Let's be real. When she's sitting with him with pillow talk, he's all up in her guts. How can she really be concerned about the black man? See, because that's what black women are telling black men. That's what we want. We want to be a powerful black woman. And when we get there, you know who we choose? We're choosing the white man. Because your brothers are not good enough. But you better vote for her, because if you don't, you're not black. That's what this whole election told black men. You want us to support a woman because she's half black, but she married a white man, hasn't helped any other brothers out, but we should rally behind her. I was sitting in this, I saw this little meeting, and some guy, I don't know if it was Barack or whoever, said, you know, she knows. No, it wasn't Barack. It was some guy, some real corny guy, talking about, you know, she knows our struggle. She knows where we came from or what we're going through. No, she don't. She don't know a goddamn thing about the black struggle, because for one, she ain't living no black struggle. The last time Kamala was black is when she was saying Montel Williams back in the day. I think that was the last time she was black. See, we got to stop letting people come into our community, be the representation. They're really not. I even go as far as Barack Obama. At the end of it, Obama wasn't even raised by black people. He was raised by his white mother, grandmother in Hawaii. So at the end of the day, he don't know the black struggle, but oh, he's the black messiah because he won the presidency. But at the end of the day, he was half. And none of them embraced the culture. None of them really embraced anything. They just pandered to it. That's all Kamala did, was pander to. She thought that she can get our vote because she get Megan Thee Stallion and Glorilla and say certain things. I saw this thing. She coming out of a record store buying records, and oh, this is Miles Davis and all, like black artists. Yeah, I just bought this. This is, you know, like that's all we are, is music, entertainment, twerking. That's all we are. That's how you get our vote. That's how you get our vote. And we wonder why she lost. She lost because she didn't relate to white America, those rural people. She didn't relate to none of them. She was trying to get the black vote and then guilted other people because, yo, if she seems cool with the black people, the white people will vote for her. Oh, cool, we're good enough. Because she just wanted to get the urban areas. And she said, oh, that's good enough. And her whole campaign was anti-Trump. Trump ain't been in the office for 4 years, so anything happen right now got nothing to do with Trump. But all she did was represent the thing that it's a hurting to black men. That you're a powerful quote unquote black woman, and you married a white man, and you have all these black women supporting you, loving you. Oh my God, Kamala, yeah. All of these black women supporting you. What do you think that does to our black women when they have that imagery they worship in? They see her with a white man, so they want to be like her because, oh, she's the vice president of the United States. She ran for the president. What issues in her campaign catered to anything about black men? Donald Trump talked more about black men than she did. He actually pardoned several black men. And we're sitting here worshiping her like she's the next Messiah, the next Barack Obama, and they're supporting it. Oh my God. See, the problem is that we have presidents, especially the Democratic or whatever, that pander to Black America, not because they really respect us. They just want our vote. She pandered to us, and then she pandered to us with celebrities, twerking, all this stuff, rather than saying these are the issues facing the African-American community. See, one thing I like that Trump did is he didn't look at African-Americans as a minority, a category. He looked at what affects us all. Because before I'm Black, I'm a man. Before I'm Black, I have bills. Before I'm Black, I have a family. Before I'm Black, I have issues just being in America that needs to be addressed. My gas is too high. My food is too much. My mortgage rates are going up. Things like that, that is affecting everybody of a certain educational level. We're not the same Black people we were back in the days where we need pandering to because, oh, poor Black people. We have jobs, houses, real estate, businesses, we got money now. So our problems ain't poor Black people's problems. I was talking to my wife the other day. I don't have Black problems. My sister and my mom's calling me, talking about, oh my God, you got to get out of Florida. Florida's crazy, blah, blah, blah. I've been living in Florida for 21 years. And in that whole time, I think maybe one time when Barack ran or whatnot, but we've been a red state. And I have never had a problem in the state when it comes to me being Black here. I have created my businesses here. I have real estate here. I have done everything, and I've never had an issue because I am Black. Now, I can sit here and talk about encounters I've had with cops and things like that. Yes, some unfair things. But just to be on the level I'm on, it's never stopped me because I'm Black. Like, that's how these liberals see, you know, love my moms, love my sister. But see, that's how they see. They like, oh my God, you down here, you're a Black man. You should be scared. But I said, what are you talking about? I've been 21 years. See, because I'm a Black man that lived the American dream. In a sense, I went to college, got a degree, got out of college, got a woman, had a job, got married, then had kids, then bought a house. See, I did things in order. I didn't go out there and bang three or four women and now I got four baby mamas out there. I didn't not go to school and try to do some hustle on the side. No, I did it right. So I live what they say, quote unquote, white life. I say the American dream. I have the biggest house in my area. The Black family. We got two BMWs in the driveway. So at the end of the day, I'm living the American dream in a sense. But not once has my Blackness stopped me, or I allowed it to stop me from where I am. See, that's who Trump was catering to. The educated American that is mad because gas is too high, food is too high, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't say, oh, poor Black people, this is what you need, Black niggas. Oh, Hispanics, this is what you need. No, he said these are the problems and the issues that you face. Now, is he a criminal? Is he a bullshitter? You know what? Yeah, probably so. But that's not the point of this podcast. The point is to say that this man run a campaign about the issues that affect all Americans. Because due to popular belief, every Black man ain't out there hustling. Every Black man don't have a whole bunch of baby mamas. Every Black man ain't out there incarcerated. There are a lot of good Black men out there handling their business. But see, we don't pander to our Black community anymore. We ain't trying to be down with Leroy on the corner. We ain't trying to be real and keep it real because, you don't know, we up there, we building businesses. We living our lives. We're loving our wives and our kids and raising our families. See, that's what we're doing. That's what Black men are doing, real Black men. See, they say that 20% of the men are impregnating all the Black women. Because this is a type of man that a woman is attracted to. She likes a bad boy. She likes a man that's over sexualized. All that stuff is about 20%. The other 80% of us guys, and I can talk about incarcerated, no, the other 80% of guys, we up there, we doing business. We have good jobs. We have family. We value family. We're buying real estate. We're buying houses. We're starting businesses. We're doing our thing. And we're not living our lives in the shadow of I'm black. No, you don't hear no black man saying black man magic. You hear no black man running out there, I'm an independent, strong black man. We don't emphasize ourselves in a box because we're men and we see ourselves as just excelling. When these Haitians and Creoles and Bohemians and people from a lot of different island countries come to America, they don't care about the prejudice. They don't sit there and cry about the issues. They come here, they work, they make their money for their family. Real men don't give it to the nonsense of, oh, racism, the world is against me. The world, we know the world's against us, but at the end of the day, we do what we have to do to be successful. We're not the ones sitting there supporting gangism. We're not like, oh, poor King Von that died, poor little Dirk, poor young Thug, free my niggas. No, we don't care about that stuff. We're saying put their asses in jail because they're criminals. I don't care about their race. I don't care. They don't get a pass because they're black. I'm not here to sympathize with an unfair system to these people that have been terrorizing and killing people. Like recently, you know, Lil Durk, you know, went to jail. He's a rapper and he's part of like the big whole thing that happened, I think, in Chicago, stuff like that. And he had a best friend called Keen Von. Keen Von was an artist that was coming up. He was coming up. He was doing his thing. But Keen Von had a secret. Keen Von was killing people. He was a murderer to the point where the FBI has categorized him as a serial killer. He's killed multiple people. But when he passed away, he got killed himself in gun violence. You got people like, oh, Keen Von, why did he kill him? Oh my God, he's such a good guy. Free Keen Von. Oh, long live Keen Von. Oh my God. See, the black community, only community that mourns criminals that actually get what they go to jail or they die. We mourn them. We say, oh, man, he was such a good artist coming up. But he murked like 40 people, but it's okay because he was a good rapper. I loved him. Oh, the black community should support him. Oh, they're trying to railroad our black people. But these are the people that they put out there and we support them. See, people sit here and they talk about the system, but the system's all about themselves and making money and whatever they put in front of us, and then we jump on it. Kamala is a clear example of the media putting somebody in front of young black women and black women in general, and y'all jumping on it. None of y'all question her policies, what she stand for. What the hell? Where have you been for 4 years? You're the vice president. Now, I get it. You may not have the House. You may not have the Senate, Congress. I get that. But you could propose things. You could fight for this. Things you could do. But you did nothing for those 4 years, 3 years, three and a half years. See, the black women don't want to ask black women any question. They don't want to give them accountability. Like, where the hell was you for 3 years? What have you done for the black community, Kamala? Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. Then when they asked you, you said, I'm not just going to do things for black people. I'm gonna do things for all people. Just slap, and then right after that, you begging for the black vote. And these sisters are running. Oh, Kamala, I love her so much. Oh my God, yay! Not knowing that at the end, she ain't done shit for you. And after this, you ain't gonna hear from Kamala. Last night, people were at Howard University. Now, I know it's her alumni, but I'm completely against that. Like, you're trying to be the president for everybody, you are at the black university. Like, come on. Anyway, that's just another thing. So people were there for hours, standing up, supporting her. And she didn't even come out to address them. She had some guy come out to about, oh, the numbers are there, blah, 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 everybody go home. Come on, won't be speaking tonight. And she left. He left. That is messed up. As soon as she found out she was losing, she said, F y'all. She wasn't even woman enough to come out and say, hey, guys, it's a tough race. We don't know what's going on. But you know what? Let's keep hope alive. Thank you for your support. That's it. But nope. She stayed there crying was emotional. See, let me get back to what I was going to say. I was controversial. I knew, like, Cash, you didn't say what you were going to say was controversial. We didn't want Kamala in the house because we didn't want her. She is a typical sellout black woman that we all know. Let's be real, guys. Laugh in your face, act like she's black, but then stab you in the back. And we know we did not want her in the White House. We don't want a black woman in the White House. Not because we're not ready for it. It's because that mentality of black woman. You're a black woman claiming to be black, only half black when it's convenient for you. And then on saying you so black, but you married a white husband. We already know where you're from. We already know where you're coming from. So we definitely don't want you there. Not because you're quote unquote a black woman. It's because the type of black woman you are. That's why. See, the problem is black women want to inspire and be her. See, they see Kamala as the example. Oh my God, that's where I want to be. I want to be powerful, successful, and marry a white guy. Look at how much he loves her. Look at how much he support her. See, but see, the man didn't marry a black woman. He married a mixed woman, a woman that had black in her and not even African-American, Jamaican. I mean, not even from African-American, black and Indian. So he didn't marry a black American woman. He married a mixed person. That's what he did. And at the end of the day, her record sucks as prosecutor, all that stuff. But see, black women won't question it because that's what they want. See, black women don't hold black women accountable for nothing. They blame us for everything. For example, the WNBA this year lost $40 million. Even though they had record numbers this year, they still lost $40 million because they don't support each other. They don't. See, the problem is that they don't want to support each other, but they want everybody else to support them. That's the argument of a lot of movements and identity stuff like that. They don't want to support each other. The gay community, they support each other. See, they did that. They started to support each other, especially events for us, things like that. Trans community, no, they're not doing that. They're not supporting each other. They want you to support them. WNBA, they don't want women to support them. They want us to support them. They want men. Why aren't men looking at it? Because we don't want to watch chicks. Has nothing to do with being racist or gender bias. I just don't want to watch. It's not entertainment. It's not athletically entertaining to me when the guys are bigger, stronger, faster, and could dunk and do all these things. And women, all they're doing is running up down the court shooting and doing layups. It is not interesting. But we're bad for saying that. Kamala, we knew from day one that we did not want her in the White House as black man. They isolated us this whole campaign. It was all about black women movement, black women power. It had nothing to do with black men at all. But we were guilted into voting for her. Because if we didn't vote for her, then we're not really supportive. We were guilted into it, the men that did it. But to be honest, there ain't one man that could sit here and probably say, yeah, I think Kamala's a really great candidate. They can't mention one policy or anything she did for black men. This is black men's mental health. My mental health is messed up by knowing that this is the woman that these black women, educated, beautiful black women, are supporting and getting mad at you when you don't support it. See, if you want to have a debate, that's fine. Last week, I was at my in-law's house. There was some tragedy happening in the family. So I was sitting there and we was having a debate about relationships and just debate. And I said, now I'm a pretty good debater when it comes down today because I understand what a debate is. It's me presenting facts back and forth. Ain't about feelings. As soon as you put feelings into it, you lost the debate. So I was saying, you know, I believe the question was, it was a lot of different things we talked about, but it was basically, to make a long story short, they were sitting there trying to say that my argument about relationships was wrong because that wasn't their experience. And I tried to explain to them. I was like, I understand that may not be your experience and that's okay. We could talk about that, your experience. But if you're trying to generalize things and say what is factual, then I'm going to whip out facts, statistics, and we're going to talk about that. But you could talk about your individual experience and your feelings, and that's fine. But in general, if we're having a debate and back and forth, we're going back and forth in facts. This one girl say, well, that's kind of like saying, you know, white and off-white are two different colors. I'm like, literally, they are two different colors. Literally, they are two different colors. Off-white and white are two different colors. Literally, it's off-white puts off white, meaning it's not white. Why are you being so literal? And this is something I'm hearing on a lot of podcasts, a lot of arguments, is people saying, why are you being so literal? I don't know what so literal is. Like, if you're literal is exactly. So if I'm doing something exactly, or I'm saying something that exactly right, I'm doing it too much. Like, that doesn't make sense. See, I'm not in the business of people's feelings. I don't give a flying rat's ass about your feelings compared to facts. Your feelings are not relevant when it comes to facts. If you're trying to argue facts to your feelings, then that's a problem. You know, if you say, I get the fact, these are the facts, but, you know, let's talk about social constructs or ideas and things like that. Then you can have a feeling, a concept, idea, conversation. But when you're talking about facts and you're debating facts, get the hell out of here. Get out of my face about that bullshit. Don't tell me literally, you're taking things literally. I saw this one podcast where it was like, oh, you're being real literal. You're not reading between the lines. Why the fuck I got to read between the lines? Like, that's ridiculous. But that's the society we live in today. Like, literally, Kamala did nothing for us. Nothing. Not a goddamn thing for the black community. This is not my feelings. This is not my idea. This is not my opinion. This is just fact. She has done nothing for us. But as soon as y'all saw a black woman up there, a representation of the idea of what black women should be now, light skinned, permed hair, married to a white guy. Let's be real. That's what's being sold. And y'all jumped on it because she was the idea black woman. I'm glad she didn't win, because if she did win, it would have opened the door. You know who would have hurt more? Black men. Because she is telling y'all, you could make it to the highest level of the country doing it the way I did. And every black woman that is quote unquote independent and got their own shit going is going to say, that is the prototype of what I should do in my life. Because that's what they do now. I'm glad she lost. I'm glad, because we don't need that type of representation for our black women. We don't. Nothing against Kamala. Maybe she's a great person. So I'm not personally attacking her as a person. I don't know her as a person. She could be the nicest person in the world. So I'm not attacking that. But at the end of the day, she showed us what black women really want. And it ain't black men. They didn't call her out and say, damn, you know, why do you marry your brother? They didn't call her out on anything. Not one thing. They defended her without facts. They couldn't talk about her record in the White House. You're the VP. You should have a record of what you did. She has no record. They couldn't argue on record. It was just saying she's a black woman. She's strong. And da, 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 da. But Trump, he did this. Like, no. Cool. Trump could do whatever he wants. What that got to do with us asking questions to Kamala about what her policies, like, you can't come up with policy. It's too short of a time to come up with policies. You're the goddamn VP. You should be saying, yo, these are the policies I want. You know, you can have one of your interns do an all-nighter and come up with a campaign. Shit, I could sit there and come up with a policy campaign in a few hours. But you tell me that you could, your team, all these people got work for you, couldn't do it. And you go out there every night bashing Trump. But not really talking about the, you know, I was tired of her stories. You know, I was raised by, like every time somebody would ask her a question to get some facts, she refers it to, you know, I know it's hard out there, you know. When I was being raised and my parents, and it was hard, you know. But, like, what the fuck did I got to do with the issues? I've started doing it several times. But you know what? I digress. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to seem like I'm bashing a black woman or half black woman. Like I said, I respect anybody that gets to any point in life, whether you got there legally or not legally, whatever she did what she had to do, get where she's at. So I respect that. I completely respect that. So in no way am I bashing her as a person. I'm bashing the situation. So please, I don't be like, oh, Cass is attacking black women. I am not attacking her at all. I am just expressing the situation and how it's really not cool. And how it's hurting black men. Because her being in the White House would have hurt us. Because now that's the example of what it is to be a successful black woman. Even though the facts is she's not married to a black man. The facts is she's not even African American. But that was their representation. And she pandered to that. I was just insulted every time I saw her rally. Like, that's what you think is going to get us to vote for you, is having Megan Thee Stallion twerking, Glorilla saying TGIF. Now, I got no problem with them. Like, there's a time and a place for it. I'll be in the club. I hear some Glorilla. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I rocks with her. I rocks with the ratchet here and there. You know what I'm saying? But there's a place for it. You know what I'm saying? There's a place for it. If I'm in the club jamming some music and some sexy red Glorilla or Megan Thee Stallion come on and beats a bop it, I'm with it. But that's in the club. But I don't want to be at a political event that a candidate could have effect on my future. I want to hear policies and what she's going to do or he's going to do when they get there, because this affects my life. But I don't want to be distracted by ass and titty shaking on stage. I don't want to keep a person trying to do all the stereotypical black things. I eat some collard greens. You know, I like how my collard greens are made. Like, are you serious? Like, are you serious? You know, that's like, have you ever heard it? Maybe I'm wrong. Quote, you know, if I'm wrong, let me know. I've never been to an Asian convention and they talk about how you like your white rice. I like my white rice real white. You like it white with the grain? Like, I don't think I've ever heard that. And I'm not being racist. I'm not trying to do an Asian thing to make fun of them at all. Okay. I'm not one. I'm just, you know. Imagery, you know what I'm saying? But you never been at a convention with somebody saying that? Who like white rice here? Yay! Like, they don't do that. Like, why you pandering to the community? If you know we eat collard greens or chicken, that's fine. But you're pandering to it on purpose. No other race does that crap. But you know what? Moving forward, you know you're going to hear the rhetoric. They couldn't handle a black woman in the White House. No, they couldn't handle a black woman in the White House because a black woman wouldn't have been in the White House if she was elected. Let's be real. And that would have been devastating to black men. How can we tell black women, take a chance on me, mess with me, let's build together, when she could say, well, look at Kamala. Our president married to a, you know, Obama, he was half, but he was married to a black woman. Even being half black, he still picked a black woman. And she was first lady for 8 years. Now a black woman was like, yeah. This time it's like, oh, it's okay. Look at her husband. Oh, they look so much in love. Yay, girl. You go, girl. You do your thing, girl. But I just wanted to do this podcast because, you know, I really wanted to talk about the election. I wanted to be up on it a little bit better. First of all, I got to thank everybody for checking me out, supporting me. I'm doing podcasts. I'm going to do podcasts. I'm going to start trying to do it every day, really talk to y'all, because I need this for me. Let's be real. I need this for me as well. Everything in my life is good, but you know what? I need to outlive talking. You know, if you follow me, you know, I've been through some health issues in the last year. My life is good though, but I've health issues. I have to step back from stuff, but I'm actually back. I'm 100% fine. I had some tragedy happen recently, but you know what? That's life. People die, things happen, and you got to deal with it. You got to be there for you, your family, and that's what I'm doing right now. But I wanted to do this podcast because I think it was very important for me to address this. All right, guys, but, you know, if you want to keep following me, go to CasanovaWilliams.com. You know, you could follow me on Instagram at CasanovaWilliams. You know, join my Instagram. You know what I'm saying? I'm be putting a lot on my Instagram. Or you can go to the Black Men's Mental Health Instagram as well and support, you know, support a lot of things we got going on. Divorce Not an Option. Me and my wife, we do a podcast about marriage. And we're actually working on a book with that. And talking about books, Men Are Meant to Be Broken is done. I just have to pick a date to release it, but it is done. I may drop it before Christmas so people can get it as a Christmas gift. I know I said October originally, but things happen. But the book is actually done. It's really, really good. Updated my Diddy section. I wrote about him, but I did update that section upon what was going on. And I may, to be honest, add another chapter or to that chapter about this election. I could add it, you know, to be relevant. But I'm thinking December before Christmas. So it'd be, you know, a good Christmas gift, you know. And then me and my wife's book, Divorce Not an Option, the manual. We're working on that right now. We just started, outlined it, stuff like that. That'd be really good. And we're going to attach actually an online certification course with it. So you and your spouse could take the test and go through it and win a certification of your, you know, that divorce really isn't an option in your marriage. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thanks. Thank you for everything. Until next time.